Welcome in to In-Game Chat. Just a second as I adjust a few things here. Yeah, welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October 12th. It's not working for me. 2024, Season 18, Episode 35. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And I'm just going to have to wing it.
Don't we always?
We do, but yeah. I could just tell that I'm in the red on our audio volume thing there. It bugs me. So, tell you what, do me a favor.
Let's see what that does.
The one that we're unplugged in, and yeah, if you turn that third one where it's plugged in, turn it down a little bit, keep going just a little bit more, keep turning it down, turn it down, turn it down. There you go.
All
right, that's much better. Much better.
All right.
There we go. Oh my goodness, that's great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Anyway, welcome into the show, everybody. Sorry about that. It's one of those things that just, it's hard to test until you're on the air. Everything about this station is hard to test because it's online all the time, or on the air all the time. It's so hard to do that. Even if another program is playing that doesn't occupy the room, you can't test it. Or put it this way, there's no way for me to test the audio of the computer that is doing the streaming. There are ways to look at levels and everything else, but it doesn't translate to what that shows on screen. So, anyway, sorry about that. Welcome into the show. If you would like to get in touch with us, then join us on Discord or join us on Twitch. Or, yeah, join us in the Twitch chat, because we have Brian in there and AC Wraith hanging out there as well. And we're in there. We also got the, and I need to unmute the Discord. So, there we go. So people in there can hear us and join in. So, yeah, you could also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch, go to twitch.tv. And you can find us there as well as join in the chat room live while we broadcast. So, yeah. Do that if you want to be a part of the show or just want to enjoy the show. You can do it that way or just keep listening. And we're bound to, you know, talk about stuff that you might know about, but probably that you don't. A lot of the listeners that I meet of this, a lot of the listeners of this station that I meet, listen to this show, but have no idea what we're talking about. And that's, you know, I would love to, like, open it up to explain things. Like, hey, call in, you know, if you hear something, you can call in and ask for a question. But I don't know that they would know where to start. I think it would, from the get-go, you were like, you said video game. What is that?
You know? Oh, boy.
No, it's not that bad. But I'm just saying, it's just over a lot of people's heads. But they still enjoy listening. And let me do this. And I for one, enjoy having them here to listen. So I appreciate that. Yeah, it's not a thing on you guys. It's just I wish I could explain it
in the 2-hour window that we've got,
you know, depending on what we're talking. Every time we bring up a game or a subject or something like that, I wish I had the time to go through and be like, here's the backstory on this and why we're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. And some of it can only be chalked up to, it's just, here's the flavor of the week, whatever it might be. Or here's why this is, you know, what it is, that sort of thing. So, who knows? And by the flavor of the week, I mean, it's just like, oh, here's the hot topic that was being talked about this week as far as gaming is concerned. Gaming doesn't, and so the listeners of this station, politics, 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 just all politics. And that's in some roundabout way easier to explain than it would be video games. It's Republican and Democrat. It's this, that, you know, you got your right, you got your left.
Mm-hmm.
You got your red and your blue, right? Yeah. There's a game term I can get behind, red versus blue.
Mm-hmm. Right. Nice.
That's it. So, you know, I mean, politics is quite simple. It's like, these are the people I support, these are the people I don't. And whatever the hot topic may be, a debate or, you know, some thing that was in the news, because there's always news going on when it comes to politics. Video games, mm-hmm. not quite like that. Yeah, we get news every week, but we don't usually have a dominating story type of thing. Mm-hmm. This was the thing that everybody talked about this week. You get a game that released, so you talk about that game if you got a chance to play it, or you talk about how it did in sales or how it did mm-hmm. with reviews. But there's no good or bad to it. I mean, yeah, video gaming has its villains. It absolutely does. Video gaming has its heroes. It absolutely does. And by that, I mean its people. Now, I don't mean the characters that we play in video games.
Yeah, the people behind the behind the magic.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the people who are in this.
Yeah, like in all entertainment.
Yeah, you got your good guys and your bad guys. And a lot of the times, your bad guys are pretty bad. I mean, you've heard us talk about those bad guys before. Luckily, a lot of them are getting out.
After compensation.
Yeah, after their golden parachutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
When a particular comes to
mind. I mean, we're thinking of Bobby Kotick is who we're talking about. And he ran Activision for the longest time until Microsoft bought Activision. And then, you know, it was like, go, get away. And there was a ton of horrible things associated with that guy. And I'm glad he's gone and out of it.
Yeah. But we still, like we said before, that doesn't just apply to video games. That's business in general.
I mean, it is. Yeah. You know, you're talking about corporations and business and everything else. So, I mean, same rules apply.
Exactly.
In the sense. And so I'm looking at the news here and I'm trying to think, okay, what would have been the big news of this past week? Would it be the Red Dead Redemption coming to PC? The Red Dead Redemption video game that is like 14 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Or older, and now it's coming to PC. It was on consoles forever, way back when, and now it's coming to PC. Red Dead Redemption is the Western open world game. You play, get that, a cowboy who, you know, back in the old West. And you got the entire, see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to explain to the audience everything we're doing. You have the entire, this massive world to play in. I remember one of the first things I did, actually, it wasn't one of the first things. One of the things that I really enjoyed doing was getting on the train, getting on top of the train, just riding it, just letting it take me throughout the entire map, watching the sun go down, watching the sun come back up, you know, just relaxing. That was it. I wasn't doing anything as far as objectives in the game. I was just seeing the scenery, watching time pass, and it was really, really cool. And another thing was to just ride out into where nothing was and then just sit there and just listen. And it was fun. And I'm not saying you're getting nature sounds. You're getting what the game programmed to do. But you do get those nature sounds. You do get these things. I remember this one time, and I probably could still find that house, and people who played Red Dead, and maybe it was Red Dead 2, or I thought it was Red Dead 1, there was this house, and I remember I was a ways away from it to where the people on the property, they, you know, the object detection couldn't see me type of thing. So it wasn't alerting them. They were just doing their thing. But I was sitting there and I don't know how close I was, but I know they hadn't seen me, or if they had, because it's open world, they didn't care. I wasn't on their property and I wasn't doing anything to them. So they were going about their day. So I could have been actually pretty close, but I remember just sitting there and listening and listening. And I started hearing unnerving noises, haunting noises, spooky noises. It's like, that's odd. I didn't think anything of it. I left the area because it felt unsettling, and I was just like, whatever. Maybe that's just me playing in my head or something like that. Maybe that's not what it is. Then I went back and I went inside the house after they had gone. Nobody was there at the time that I know of, and I was just going through the house. And it's this old two-story whatever house, and doing what you normally do in games like this, which is basically take everything. you open up drawers.
Yeah, you open
up drawers, and for whatever reason, this drawer has, hair tonic. it's just ridiculous. Or an apple, you know? It's video game food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bullets in the dishwasher.
Right, okay, exactly. Where they put stupid places they put things. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm looting the house for supplies. It's what you do in a game like that. And the voices got louder. Mm. I think the house was haunted, but I never saw anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just made me unnerving sitting there listening to these.
And there wasn't any DLC type thing. It was just a house in the middle of nowhere.
It was. And I feel like I could find it again, but I can't remember if that was two. It wasn't two. It was one. Because I remember trying to find a lot. See, in two, you run across, early in the game, you run across a mangled, murdered body that is hanging under some railroad tracks. And then they're written in blood on the side of the wall as some sort of message and that sort of thing. And and it's just a gruesome kill.
Mm-hmm.
And when you discover that, music changes, noises kick in. They give it a very... ooh, there's a serial killer out there, murderer type thing. But they never go into the haunting ghost realm, And it is. It's a serial killer mission. You find his other kills, you find his clues, and eventually you find him.
Oh, it's like the one in the Zoss missions in Batman?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
But because this is such an open world, Red Dead 2 is a massive map, takes a little bit to find the different kill spots where he's done, and then to piece it all together and figure out where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Thar 6 says maybe it was part of the zombie DLC, the Undead Nightmare. I did not have that installed, or I wasn't currently playing the Undead. In fact, I've never played Undead Nightmare. I have it, but I never actually played it. I never went into it. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't a part of that, to my knowledge. Maybe it was tied into it, and so you still get sound effects like that for it, even though you're not playing it. Because, again, nothing happened. Just noises. That's all you heard.
Mm.
And I really think that's all that was supposed to be there, was just to kind of spook you a little bit. There are some things in Red Dead 2, though, that are legit spooky when you go to certain places, depending on if there's a thunderstorm or if it's at midnight. Like, it's a certain time of day and a certain type of weather. You have to be at this certain spot, and you'll get... something. I remember GTA had something like that with the UFO.
UFOs in Halloween. There was a spot, I think, where I think it was like Jock Cranley's wife's ghost somewhere. If you go to a certain cliff,
right
side during the night, little various things like that.
Yeah, and I think was it Red Dead 1 had Bigfoot or 2?
Probably.
I know there was Cougar Man.
Yeah.
Which
that was a glitch.
That was a glitch.
Yeah, I'm still Cougar Man.
Cougar Man. No, there was a glitch for that one. But there was like something in the woods in Red Dead 1, I think it was. Or I could be mistaking it for GTA.
Mm. I think there was something like that in GTA.
There could have been. I could be completely
just
mistaken.
Dude in the suit, though. Yeah.
And we say that because Grand Theft Auto is.
Yeah. Featured in the Undead Nightmare DLC pack. Sasquatches.
Okay, yeah. I never came across him. I remember seeing videos about him, about Sasquatch. But anyway, just to go into that, Red Dead Redemption coming to PC, the first one. And I believe it's coming pretty soon, is it not?
I think so. Let's see.
Let me see. Gonna open this up. The main, 14 years old.
It's scheduled for this month, so yeah.
Okay, so it's coming out in October.
Yeah,
October 29th.
Okay.
October 29th, a full 14 years after Red Dead Redemption first launched on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 back in 2010. Native 4K resolution and beyond, up to 144 hertz and supported hardware. So we'll get a game that looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's 14 years old, it'll be able to play on 4K or, that sort of resolution.
Yeah.
It'll have a 144 hertz, so, you know, refresh rate up there. What else? Monitor support for both ultra-wide and super ultra-wide. Full keyboard and mouse support. Yeah, I'll probably stick to a controller. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever played those with a mouse and keyboard before. Upscaling technology, support for NVIDIA DLSS 3.7 and AMD's version of DLSS, which is FSR 3.0. NVIDIA DLSS frame generation, adjustable draw distances. Draw distances, for those wondering, is how far you can see ahead. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about something like Red Dead Redemption, which is a massive open world, but not cityscape. It's all, you know, just land. Just,
and you can see pretty far. When
yeah,
it's a lot of,
you can see pretty far. And so draw distances are how far the game draws the items at a certain distance.
Yeah.
So what you get from that, and just to kind of go into this a little bit, what you get from that and what draw distances do, the further out you have draw distances, the less pop-up you see. What pop-up is when you're moving along in the game and you can see the trees or the cars or whatever might be ahead of you start to pop in because the yeah. game has to generate them being there.
If you ever played the old 80s racing titles like Pole Position,
yeah.
or Hang On, something like that, or Outrun,
uh-huh.
you'd see the, as you're going forward, you see the background stuff popping up.
Popping in and filling in, as you get close to it.
Yeah.
And so if your draw distances are further out like that, the pop-in happens way out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's less noticeable. You can if you want to nitpick over it, but it's just less noticeable. So adjustable draw distances, and the reason they make them adjustable is because of your computer's ability. When you have to develop for a PC, you have to think of, well, PCs range from crap rigs to overly expensive crap rigs, you know. you've got so much to program for. To have it adjustable so that if your computer can do it, you can go max settings on it and just mm-hmm. let it do its thing. If it can't, you can bring that down and kind of work within it so that your computer can run it. Shadow quality settings, they're going to be a lot more as well. So, thing about it is the price of it is $50, and that's another conversation to have. 14-year-old game, and I know it's getting remastered, and I know there's other examples to throw at it saying, well, this game was this many years old, and its remaster cost this much money, that sort of thing. I understand. I just, man, seems like a lot.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot. As we often say, games that are coming out like this, hold off. I don't think you're going to see a discount on this for Black Friday. If you do, maybe $10 off.
Maybe.
But given the fact that it is releasing that close to like the holiday season and everything, mm-hmm. I just don't see them putting that on any kind of a discount.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing about this is that it's not a brand new game. It's a game I played before. So we can sit there on the Steam store and wait for its price to come down before jumping on it. And I absolutely will jump on that. I finally got Red Dead 2 on PC.
Mm-hmm.
So I will definitely jump on and get Red Dead 1 eventually. I will not. Red Dead 2, I think I picked up for $14 during a sale. And that game isn't as old as this one. By a little bit, anyway. I think it was 10 years afterwards. No. It wouldn't be 10 years if this is 14. Well, no. Yeah, if this was 14, then it could have been about 10 or 8 years, I think.
Yeah.
After that. Because if this is 14 years old, that goes back to, what, 2008? 2006? Math is hard.
But when it was...
No, 2000...
When was Red Dead released?
Red Dead Redemption, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have it? You had it pulled up, right?
Yeah, I had it pulled up. 2010.
2010, that's right. I was all over it. Missed it completely. Math is not my strong suit. I remember when it came out, man.
Released for the PS3 and 360 in May of 2010. Didn't they have the chili? some store had like some event involving chili with Red Dead Redemption released or something.
I don't remember
like that
at all. Yeah. It's 14 years ago, man. I have no clue. I really don't. What I do remember about them, and what I do remember, I mean, it was Rockstar, which is the developers on this. Every time they released a new game, especially a big anticipated game like Red Dead, Red Dead 2, GTA, they would do these videos before release that were really well done. They were massively informative. They were one of the better ways that you got information about a game directly from the horse's mouth, essentially, was the fact that they would do these, I don't know, it was a series of about 8 or 10 minute videos. And you'd get one like once every few weeks. And it would talk about, here's the story, you know, and they would do an 8 minute deep dive on like, here's the story, here's how it's going to be. Then they did one on gameplay. And it went through like, here's your hand-to-hand combat. Here is the different weapons you're going to get. Here's the way you use those weapons. Here's the way you use the different mechanics. Here's how you ride a horse. Here's how you do this. Just, they really, really went in depth about like all the different things. It was almost like a video tutorial spaced out over every how many weeks leading up to the release. It was really, really good. They don't do that anymore, or at least other game companies don't do that much anymore. So, yeah, you know, anyway, $50 for a 14-year-old game. We'll see about when I – it'll be interesting to see what price it hits where I'm like, all right, that, I'll give you the money for that one. You know? I feel like 20 is good.
Yeah.
I feel like $30 off would be nice and just pick it up for 20. So, anyway, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the games we played because we completely brushed over any of that. But we are in the middle. Oh, I know what I need to tell you about. So the music that I'm using today is from, we've done this for the past, excuse me, Scarlet Moon. We've done this for the past, I don't know how many years that we've been doing this, but it's an 03. It's the annual Halloween album from, I think it's Scarlet Moon. Is the name. Scarlet Moon is a music label supporting creators big and small. Yes, yes, yes. Every year they put out a Halloween album. We've done it before. We did it Volume 1, Volume 2, and now we have Volume 3. I don't know exactly where some of these tracks come from because I do have labels of where they come, but some of them are original works. And so I'm not exactly sure where this track comes from. It's a track called The Maiden. And yeah, that doesn't give me any info. So I'll try and look up some of this information and come back to you. But this, almost everything with the exception of one track, comes from the Scarlet Moon Halloween Volume 3 album here. It is 6 tracks total. This one's called The Maiden. And we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Of course, we're doing all our spooky music. This comes from the Scarlet Moon Halloween Volume 3 album. This is called Eulogy for the Rings. It is from The Outer Wilds, Echoes of the Eye. Which I think it's a remix from that, I believe, so... Which there's nothing about the Outer Wilds, unless that particular expansion or something like that had a spookiness to it. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
Everything else is very, like, The Seventh Guest. We got a track from The Seventh Guest. That's coming up next, by the way. We got Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest. So, I mean, you kind of get that. And then we got some really original stuff. But, you know, we'll get to them as we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, welcome back to the show. RJ, what have you been playing?
More of the same, but for the most part, I was playing Grand Theft Auto Online. I was doing something, some activities in there, but for the most part, I was doing the namesake, Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. I was trying to fill up my warehouse with cars for sale, and I was reminded of the joy of trying to get those cars back undamaged.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, it's like if you conceal a vehicle in the game, you have to get it back to your warehouse without being damaged. And when you get it damaged, it costs you money to get it repaired. But normally, you could just take the car off the street or just find a location and snatch it there. But sometimes you have to fight with the cops for the vehicle. And a lot of damage can pile up because you have to take it from them, get shot at while doing so, evade the cops, and they're shooting at you again, and bullets cost money.
Yeah.
And so you can get a rack up about $10,000 to $20,000 worth of damage on that thing, getting it back to your warehouse and escaping from the police pursuit the process. So most of the time I can get it there without too much damage, maybe a grand or so, or $2,000 worth of damage. You know, mm-hmm. You can get that from just being mind your own business. You can get $2,000 randomly, and you can just cover the cost that way. Other times you'll have to do another mission that'll get you maybe enough money to cover the amount of damage you get. So you have to lather, rinse, repeat, and get those cars built up. So that's what I was trying to deal with playing that. Another, like I said, more of the same, really. More with MLB The Show and First Ascendant, trying to play a little bit of that. So I know there's some events going on in that game, but I haven't been able to partake in those right now because I'm still trying to level up some items in there.
Yeah.
And so it's a grind with that game. You have to get the materials in order to... I'm at the point where I have to get a lot of materials in order to grind my weapons up to compete with the bigger enemies that are in the game. So that's going to be a long process doing that. So that's what I've been going through this week.
You talk about that car mission. One of the things car missions like that where you have to get a car and take it back to... or take it to a certain point on the map... But mm-hmm. don't hit anything, you know, or don't damage the car type of thing. Those are basically vehicular escort missions, and I hate escort missions.
Mm-hmm.
I was never fond of the Assassin's Creed escort missions. I think it's one of the first that I ever saw, or it might have been Max Payne 2, for God's sakes. I can't remember, but there was the one specifically we're in Assassin's Creed, and I don't know exactly which one, probably 2 is where they started with them, but I never could stand the escort missions. It's like you got to bring them from this point to this point, but you got to clear the way first for them to go through, and you got to remain undetected and you can't be seen, and it's just annoying.
That puts me in the mind of do you remember the original Manhunt?
I remember the game. I never played it.
Okay.
That's a rock star, isn't it?
Yeah. There was a mission in there where Starkweather had you escort a drunken bum from point A to point B. So they had the hunters out there trying to catch you as well. So you had to give him a signal to come follow you. Stay in the shadows. Now he's drunk, so he's not very coordinated. So he's making noise and stumbling along. So you have to take that into consideration if you want to go from point A to point B on your way to the end goal.
Yeah.
So do I call him here when there's someone in his presence or whatever, or do I just have him sit there and wait? At least he'll stay there and wait. But while he's moving along, it's high-level stress, especially when a hunter's coming along. He's not going to hear you because you're staying still. But while he's stumbling, kicking over beer cans and bottles and stuff, it could be a mess in no time flat. So yeah, I understand the stress of escort missions in some cases.
There's a mission in Cyberpunk early mission that you do where you take the taxis or whatever and you got to bring the taxis back and the different cars for whatever that person is. He's like a, he's an AI or something. I can't remember what he is.
Yeah.
You have to go and find the different cars, get them, bring them back to his garage, but don't hit anything or don't damage the car. Annoys me. Just annoys me. There are, in some of these games, I really wish, and there probably are, Burnout, for example, the one I'm playing now, which all of my burning routes, all the time trials, I just want to skip those. I want to get a code that just like, here, you cleared them. So that I don't ever have to worry about them. I hate them. Can't stand them. Cannot stand being, and if you watch my stream from last Sunday, you'll see me doing them over and over and over because it's got to be a perfect run. And it just annoys me, and I hate it. What I have noticed, and this is just going into the games that I've played, because all I've really ever played is Marvel Snap, Burnout 3 Takedown, Burnout Revenge, and Burnout Paradise. In fact, Burnout Paradise, I noticed something earlier this week. I decided to play Paradise on my 360, or not my 360, but my Series X. My console in the other room. Up on my big screen TV, my big, big screen TV, I decided to play it there. And I noticed I wasn't as good at it as I was on my PC. Not because the PC runs better, but I chalked it up to the fact that I was sitting closer to the TV on PC. I was running at 1440, and I have no idea. I think it supports it in the remastered version. So I was running a 27-inch monitor, 1440p, and boy, it was a lot easier to play than it was on the console. And when I go back to the console, I look at it and I'm like, how did I do all of this on this console? Other than the fact that I was much younger and I guess maybe my eyes were much better. I don't know.
I want to say the resolution was better. Was it 1440 on both console and PC?
No, no, you're exactly right. It would have been 1440 on the PC. And if Burnout Remastered is 4K, then it should be 4K on the big screen TV.
60 frames?
I'm not sure. Probably. Their Burnout Criterion was very good about doing 60 frames per second. I don't know. But it just was easier to notice where the turns were going to be, like when I had to make a turn and that sort of thing. It was just easier to see.
I guess clarity at high speed, I guess.
Possibly.
That would be the thing.
Yeah.
If the resolution was really high.
Yeah, very possible.
Because driving's all about knowing what's coming.
Yeah.
So if you can see clearly that you got a slight banking right turn, you know how to prep for it as opposed to suddenly right turn. So I guess that's where it came from.
And let me tell you, the burning routes that I'm doing on Burnout Paradise, which in Burnout Paradise, the way that works is that you do events. Every intersection in the open world area is an event. And if you, you know, finish first or win the event, then, you know, in 10 wins, you get an upgraded license. And every time your license upgrades in the city, it wipes the slate clean of everything you've done so that you have them again to go back and do, leading you to get an elite license, which is when you do everything on the map. 60 some odd events or so. I don't know. It's a lot. However, the only thing that doesn't reset are when you do the time trials. When you finish a time trial for a specific car, that stays finished. It never resets. So currently, I'm just sort of going through and collecting cars. And every time you collect a car, that car has a burning route. When you finish that burning route in first, you get an upgraded version of that same car. And so currently, I'm just going through and getting these cars. And doing all the burning routes. And I'll do some races and everything else just to kind of break up the monotony. But I'm knocking these burning routes out of the way. I'm getting these time trials done.
Yeah, that's the thing about all driving games. There is a monotony that can get there.
There absolutely is. Absolutely is. So, but I've been really enjoying going back to the Burnout days and playing those. It's been really a lot of fun to revisit both in Burnout 3, Burnout Revenge, and Burnout Paradise. Remastered what I'm playing now. And me and Matt were going to try and do a stream last Monday, but he can't get his to work. And the more I looked at that, I went into the reviews for Burnout Paradise Remastered on Steam, and they're mixed. They've always been mixed. And I would go down to the reviews, and it's like the game keeps crashing, game keeps crashing. Like, it can't run stable. When I first loaded mine up, it crashed. And I was like, well, okay, I own the game. And what it also tried to do was open up EA Origin, my EA Origin app. And had to log into that. So I went into EA Origin. I logged in. I did all that, got it set up. I launched it from Steam. It launched the EA Origin overlay. The game ran. I was fine. Matt, for some reason, can't get that to work for him. I don't know what the deal is, but he can't get it to work. He can get in there and play, but he has to, like, disconnect from... He can't play on... If it tries to connect to online, it crashes.
Crashes, yeah.
Which is the weirdest thing, because I got into an online game where it's just you and other players in the same city just driving around, doing whatever. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily racing each other. You can do that, but you're not necessarily racing each other.
Some unknown setting, possibly? Or
I, you know, I wish I knew, because all it was for me was just join... Yeah, in progress, and it was no problem.
I'm trying to remember if I did anything like that for the console version, because I've got Burnout Paradise on a PlayStation, but I remember some EA thing popping up in there.
Yeah, like you had to...
Yeah, I had to like log in or something, mm-hmm. but it was never an issue after that.
Because you were using theirs. You weren't using like Xbox. You were using their servers and everything else, and so, yeah. It was really kind of annoying, and I really hated the fact that it wanted to open up the EA Origin overlay for this thing. I'm like, just open the game and play, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you wondering, yeah, you're going to run into this when you want to do PC gaming. It's a little bit more involved. It isn't just put the disc in and play. Mm-hmm. It's not like that anyway now, but because it's all digital. But it's not just like, here's the game, I can play it, here we go. For the most part, 90% of the time it is, but there's 10% of the time where you are going to have to do something to make it work better.
EA and Ubisoft.
It could be any game, honestly. Mm-hmm. When you run into situations like that, it could be anything.
Well, those are two that pop up my head, because there's always something like the EA thing or some Ubisoft thing. Well, it was like that with the Division, something with Ubisoft account or something like that that was involved before playing the game.
Yeah,
something along those lines. So those are two that pops up in my head.
So, yeah, that's what I've been playing. And this morning I played Journey to the Savage Planet.
Okay. What genre is that?
It's humor. It's more of a comedy game than anything else. And apparently, looking at reviews, it's like, hey, the game isn't long, but it's absolutely worth the trip to go through because of all the tongue-in-cheek and all the sort of stupidness and it was interesting to play and I'm looking forward to going further into it because I think there's something there, but I wasn't paying attention to anything because that's my problem. It's not, I kind of want to start over and start from the beginning and sort of listen to everything because there's live action video that you have to watch and then there's all these different things. And so I think it may tell a story. How good of a story it tells, I have no idea, but There's something there, and I kind of want to get immersed into it to get the full effect from it, if that's the case. What I'm really seeking, and I was just thinking about this now when you were talking about the games that you had been playing, and I was going over my head, like, what have I been playing? And I realized it's been a minute since I played a narrative-type game.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, it's been like, you know, Snap and Burnout and... stuff that just, there's no fixed narrative. It's just you doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't really gone through, or a puzzle game. Again, doesn't have narrative. It's just you playing some different puzzles or something. Like The Witness is not really a narrative type game.
Yeah.
There's a story, very, very thin story that is there, but it's mostly just you solving puzzles on an island.
So simple titles, things like just.
Yeah. Well, no, what I'm thinking about is like Ghost of Tsushima. You know, I've got the game and there's no update that's going to be coming out anytime soon for it. Mm-mm. So, I mean, why not just dive right into it? Not just that, but I mean, I've also got Control, got Alan Wake 2. There's quite a few there that I've got that I can jump in and start playing that are narrative based, that are telling a story. And it may not be a great story, but it's still a story nonetheless that I can sort of, you know, jump into and advance now and again when I play. So... I mean,
are they just quick games? something that's not a time sink.
Right. That's what I've basically been doing, is just stuff that isn't a time sink, with the exception of Frostpunk 2, and I still haven't gone back to that because I know what kind of a pull that is.
Yeah.
And so I haven't jumped back into that as much as I want to. So I haven't done anything like that. But yeah, kind of looking for some narrative. Mm-hmm.
So I pulled up the Journey to the Savage Planet, the Steam page. Yeah, it looks like they just threw you on a planet, figured out.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, they tell you what to do. You go out. I mean, it's really not.
Yeah, it says your job is to determine if the planet ARY-26 is fit for humans.
Right.
You may be short on equipment and experience, but you'll figure it out. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoy what I played of it so far.
Okay.
So far. Haven't really gone that deep into it, but we'll see how it goes. But again, yeah, kind of looking at something that's more in the narrative. I've got Spider-Man 2 on my PlayStation 5 I haven't played. Mm-hmm. So there's a nice narrative game I could get into.
Yeah.
If I wanted to do that. But I was talking about Assassin's Creed and a couple of other games that came to mind, and I was like, man, I haven't done a narrative game in a long time. Mm-hmm. I say that. You can probably go back a few episodes and find one where I'd recently finished, but I'm not sure. I feel like God of War might have been the last one.
Probably.
Maybe.
I think.
Did I play any narrative? I'm going to have to look on my PC and see if I played any kind of narrative games on my PC. A lot of them have been really small little indie titles that don't really have a narrative to it. Balatro doesn't have a narrative to it. It's just a fun game.
No, I'm just trying to see if you can get to the end.
Yeah, Vampire Survivors is the same thing. A lot of what I pick up doesn't have that main narrative running through it. I recently picked up... I think it's called Filament. Oh, gosh. I could be mispronouncing it. It's
Filament,
from...
Like light?
Right, but I think I'm screwing it up, man. It's the game. It's a game from the people who made Myst and Riven.
Firmament.
Firmament. That's what it was. God. So Humble Bundle had a Myst sale going on where you could get everything that Cyan Worlds had made, with the exception of the recently released Riven remake that they did. Mm-hmm. But you could get it all for like $20.
Okay.
Firmament runs for $35 currently by itself.
Mm.
So a couple weeks back, I went ahead and bought that before it ended, because I was like, yeah, this is a good time to get Firmament. Plus, I also picked up Myst 3 Exile and Myst 4 Revelations, which I did not have on Steam. So I got those and kind of completed my Cyan Worlds thing, with the exception of the Riven remake, which I'll get to that. And so Firmament's another one that I could jump into that has narrative and has a, you know, has a puzzle element to it and everything else that I could get into. And I also picked up recently, again, for $20 on Humble Bundle, you can get Jurassic World Evolution and Jurassic World Evolution 2, plus every single piece of DLC content ever released for both of those games for $20.
Mm.
Now, if you're wondering what those are, if you don't know what Jurassic World Evolution is, it is a basically you run the dinosaur park. You build it. You know, you want to build the pavilion, and then you want to build the... Here's the T-Rex pen where we're putting the T-Rexes. Here's where we're putting the Stegosauruses. Here's where we're putting the Triceratops. You know, you just build the park as you want to build it.
Yeah,
you know,
builder.
It is. You charge admission and everything else. And yeah, it's not a narrative. It's a park builder.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is. It's just you building a park. But you're using dinosaurs instead of, you know, regular zoo. I think I've got Zoo Tycoon, where you build a zoo. But yeah, so it's all dinosaurs. Anyway, I just love Humble Bundle for offering packages like that, where it's like $20, you get everything. Here it is. So that was nice to have. That is all that I played. Feels like I should have played more, but that's all I played this week. So we'll see. By the way, no show next weekend. We're not doing a show next weekend.
Okay.
So hopefully I have more to talk about then, or after that. Yeah. So we'll be doing a show next weekend. Once a month we take a day off. This is going to be our day off. So next week. What else we got in our news? To just what we've got some time to kill. Again, going back over to see like hey, what was the big news of the week? There's not much. Like I said, Red Dead Redemption being released on PC was kind of a big deal. Oh, I don't know if I want to talk about it. The Nintendo alarm clock.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you looked at that. I don't know if you saw that.
I was looking at the show notes earlier. Yeah. Odd feature.
Works
better when you're alone.
Alone.
Okay.
That's what the whole thing was. Is like Nintendo made an alarm clock for single people. For people who sleep alone. And when we mean alone, we mean like absolutely alone. If you have a dog or a pet, that's going to be a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
It monitors your movement in bed. You know, it can see when you move in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it does anything because of that, and it's likely a feature you can turn off, but the alarm is usually some kind of music from a different game, sound effects. The only way to turn the alarm off is, I mean, there's probably a switch for it, but essentially is to get out of bed. Once you're out of bed, it plays some kind of fanfare, and then the alarm shuts off
because
it recognizes that you got out of bed. It's a neat little thing, but I don't know who's going to get it.
It's for $100, isn't it?
It's $100, yeah. It's a $100 alarm clock. I think it's a perfect little accessory type thing, and I wish it wasn't $100 because I think it'd be better if it was a lot less than that. But I just don't know who's going to pick that up other than maybe collectors or just people who live by themselves and would like a clock like that. I have no idea why you would want one like that.
Yeah. I've told you what the best alarm is.
The music from Drowning in Sonic.
Put it on your smartphone, stick it by your bed, and you will wake up.
Yeah.
Promise you.
Wake up and change the alarm sound because I don't want to wake up. That's not the kind of stress I want to wake up to in the morning.
But you'll be up.
Yeah, I know.
That's the bottom line.
But I don't need that kind of stress in the morning. I'd rather wake
up
nice.
You'll be up and wide awake.
Yes, you will. And annoyed. Because you remembered you set the drowning tone for your alarm clock. You'd be really annoyed with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this was one of those things. Everybody was expecting a Switch 2 announcement. Like, we're supposed to at some point get a reveal of this Switch 2. And I'm not saying it's happening this month, but the rumor is this thing's getting released in the spring of next year, probably. But they haven't even announced that it exists yet. Actually, I think they did acknowledge that a Switch 2 does or will exist, mm-hmm. but they've made no announcement about it, when it's going to get released, any kind of, you don't know what it looks like or the games that are coming with it or anything like that. We don't know anything. But we figure that if Nintendo is ever going to make an announcement, it's going to be sometime before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're like, hey, we got a hardware announcement. Like, oh, hey, here it comes. Oh, it's an alarm clock. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So, I don't know. It's called Alarmo. You can only pick it up either at Nintendo stores, I think in New York, or if you're a subscriber to the Nintendo Online thing for the current Switch.
Yeah.
You can go into the store there and you can buy online from there the Alarmo clock while supplies last. I don't know that they're flying off the shelves, but that's what it is. I'd go into more detail on it, but honestly, it's, I don't know who it's for. Like I said, it's a neat idea, and I think it could be used better, but not for $100. No, not $100. Just not. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will just keep going over the news here. We've got music now. Again, going back to this Scarlet Moon Halloween Volume 3. This track is called The Game. It is from The Seventh Guest, which I really, really, it's one of the first PC games I ever played. If you take out the shareware versions of like Doom and Wolf 3D and stuff like that, if you take those games out, Seventh Guest is one of the first full computer games I ever played as a kid on a 486 DX40 way back when.
Mm-hmm.
Played The Seventh Guest. Looked like crap by today's standards, but let me tell you, back then, cutting edge to see FMVs in your video game. Real people in your video game was a thing. Anyway, this track is called The Game. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from an artist by the name of Soyo Oka. I think it's one of the original tracks. It's called The Night the Witch Comes. I'm not exactly sure what other game Soyo Oka has composed for, or if that comes from a game. It doesn't seem like it does. But we got Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, coming up next with Children of the Night, which I think is the Bloody Tears track from CB2. All right, welcome back into the show. Let's jump back into the news. And, oh, let's see. That going back into chat for a second. AC Wraith says, October is generally my time to play narrative games. I still have some point-and-click adventures like Cat Lady to get through. Is there a point-and-click? Oh, God. I remember some kind of point-and-click game that I was really interested in, and I added it to my wish list, but I don't remember what it was. Drunk Degenerate says, I started playing Stasis and got my hands on Cryptmaster. Oh, wait. Cryptmaster, that's the one with the narrative where you have to spell to do things, right? I think that's the one you're talking about. $100 is a note for me, regardless of what it looks like, says Bam O'Brien. Talking about Alarmo. Yeah. He said he'd buy those pink glow-in-the-dark Crocs for dogs before he would ever buy that alarm clock. So
the what?
I guess some Crocs that you can put on your dog. I don't know why you would, unless it's some kind of therapy, I suppose. But go ahead. Let's see, what do we have for some news? I'm just down the line here. 343 Industries, which is the company that made all the Halo games, once Bungie left. Like, after Bungie was the company that made the Halo games. Then Bungie went off and did their own thing. Microsoft retained the rights, the IP rights. They're like, hey, we will let you go from your contract. but we keep the Halo IP. You know, you don't take that with you. We keep Halo. And you're like, all right, fine, we'll break off. You can do that. And so the team that stayed behind and worked on Halo became 343 Industries. Mm-hmm. 343 is a reference to something in Halo, the game itself. So that's what they, but now they have rebranded. They have gotten rid of that, and now they're just called Halo Studios. They have multiple new games that they're working on, and they are going to move to Unreal Engine 5. They showed off some video of the movement of, was it Halo Legends or whatever the latest Halo game is, being converted into Unreal Engine 5 for that. Looks really cool, but it's still Halo, and I just haven't played Halo in a long time. So is a move to a new engine gonna bring me back in? Probably not. But are new games that they make going to bring me back in? Sure. Possibility of that. Definitely. Regardless of whatever engine they use, you know, make something new that's you know, starts to pull people back in, then I'm going to give it a look.
Make it fun. Make it interesting.
I've fallen off the Halo thing. What was it? Halo? Probably Halo 4 is where it stopped for me. I think I started playing Halo 4 and then I just never went beyond it. So, like,
just Halo or the genre itself?
Just Halo, the franchise. Okay. That franchise. Because I know we played Halo 3 ODST. I remember doing that. I remember playing, my memory is going away. It was the prequel to all of it. When it was when the Covenant showed up, what was that first planet that they took over, and that they glassed the planet?
And was it Halo Reach?
Halo Reach. That's okay. It. The Fall of Reach. That's okay. What it was. The Fall of Reach. Thank you, God. And so Halo Reach is like, I read about that. There was a whole book that was put out long before this game ever was released or made or even started being talked about. And it was called Halo The Fall of Reach because the lore was so well built that you could read about these things and there would be little tie-ins to what you're currently playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, few and far between, but they were there. However, all of the books had something to do with the games and kind of connected them that way. And The Fall of Reach was like the first one that they ever did. And whenever they made the game, Reach was always mentioned in the game, in the narrative. They talked about Reach. But you got to play the Master Chiefs that were on Reach at the time and dealing with the Covenant invasion. And we already knew as people who consume that lore, whether it be in the novelization or whether it be in just the logs that you would read throughout the other games, you knew the fate of Reach, and you knew that Reach never changed. This is what happens. And so when you played that game, you knew what was to come. And the end of that game is just you trying your best to defend the area, but eventually you are overrun.
Yeah.
There is no happy ending with Halo Reach.
Yeah.
You knew what is to happen. You knew what was going to happen.
It's made me think of Dead Space. I think Extraction.
Yeah.
The one where the first marker before Isaac Clarke, you know, I think it was a station that the first station that pulled in one of those red markers, and you knew, because if you played Dead Space, you knew exactly how those folks were going to end
up. Oh, so it was a prequel. It took place before that. But you knew exactly what was going to happen.
There's no happy ending because you know what's coming.
So does that tell the story of them finding one of those things and going through the process of what it does?
Yeah. It's
Find it and sort of the story ends of like, oh, okay, this is how it started?
I think it's like you pull it up. And stuff, and the usual Dead Space mechanic, things start going haywire. Visions and hallucinations and dead coming back to life from the influence of the marker, that type of thing. So you see it. So you see that starting off, and you know how it's going to end. It's a bad ending. It's like if you made a game about Titanic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how that movie's going to end. Yeah. You know how that game's going to end. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, you know the narrative. It's just you get to play through and kind of experience that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. In some ways I like that, but that lore's really got to be built up. I was thinking about this the other day I can't remember what sparked it, but I was thinking about Destiny again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about, again, these are the same people that made Halo, and so I was thinking about the lore that they have, these stacks upon stacks upon stacks of lore that is all referenced in-game. The Red War, well, we play the Red War, but there is... back when I was playing Destiny, I could have ripped these off the top of my head in no time. Now I'm just trying to really remember. But there were a number of different battles. There were a number of different moments throughout history that had been talked about and described, but never anything you've been able to witness or experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to go back and kind of give you that, and they may in their expansions for the game and their continued support of Destiny 2, without making a Destiny 3, they may go back and maybe do that to pull from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of really good stuff there. And we experienced some of that with, I think, Saint 14, I believe, in some way. Like, we heard of Saint 14, and we heard about how he defended the
heroic exploits he had in the lore. Yeah.
We heard about these things. We heard about his death. We heard about the way that he was able to save and do what he was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we had heard about this for a good while. And then finally, they let us play that.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing they did with Halo, where we got to go into that and experience what we had read about. And then we got to go and actually visit his tomb, which is where we got, I think, his helm or something. I don't know what it was. Or shotgun. Perfect Paradox is the name of the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great. And then, of course, we actually got to bring him back.
Yeah, see him, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was a time travel thing.
Yeah.
And so instead of him dying, we were able to save him and bring him back and change the whole history of things. But I like when they're able to do that, when they're able to build something like that and sort of continue to build on it and then say, hey, why don't we make it so that you can play that? We've talked about it a ton. Why don't you go back and play that?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like when stories can sort of do that and give you that experience. Not necessarily because you know the outcome, but it's more of a sense of, I do know the outcome, but how did we ever get here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did this all play out? And you can look at like, man, if this hadn't have happened, you know, if this one little thing that we just went through had not have happened, then this thing would have been all completely different. But it can't. It has to follow this path.
You know, what type of decisions did y'all make to get to this point?
Yeah.
And if I was in that situation, how would you do so? I mean, you'd like to think you make a different. Well, you, of course, in retrospect, making a different decisions. Hindsight's 20/20. But yeah, it would be interesting to see how those decisions came together to get to that point in the story. In the prequel. Yeah.
It was really good. It's really well done when they do those things. So I'd like more of those. Mm-hmm. By the way, thank you, Apollo Neon, for bringing up Reach, and you know, you as well, RJ, for doing that. Just trying to, you know, shake my brain. Let's see. What else do we have? Alien Isolation is getting a sequel. That's all we know. Alien Isolation getting a sequel. Alien Isolation is the one where you are playing the game in first person. You're on one of the ships, and you're hiding from...
It's hide and seek.
The Xenomorph, you're hiding from the alien. And that's it. You have to be very quiet. You have to do certain things. There are certain objectives you have to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do those while sneaking around the ship. And I love stealth games, but I don't like that. I don't like stalking games, I guess you could say. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a stealth game, but you have somebody stalking you and you have to hide. That part I don't like. I like it when you're the one that's doing the stalking and you have to hide. You know, Splinter Cell feels like that to me. Nobody's looking for me because they don't know I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to stay that way. You know, everything that is done in the shadows. You take somebody out, you hide the body so it's never found.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't know you're there. Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, That part I like. This part, Alien Ice, nope, not my cup of tea. Not at all. Reminds me of...
Zeno knows you're there and at all times.
Like he's just walking around listening, smelling, you know, looking, that sort of thing. And he can get in the little bitty crevice. It's just nope. Especially since you have that motion sensor on your, you know, the thing that senses where the alien's at. Just like, oh, God. I don't like that. I don't like it. It's too stressful for me.
He's on top of me.
I know.
Above or below.
You don't know. So I don't like it.
That reminds me of The Evil Within. You ever play that?
Evil Within. No, I have both. I have Evil Within and 2.
Yeah, there's a part in the first one where you're trying to get away from...
Chances are, if you ask me if I've ever played a horror game, just go ahead and say no.
No, probably not. Yeah, there's a part where you have to sneak and get away from this dude. I forget the thing's name, but yeah.
See, one with the box on his head?
Yeah, the box on his head, yeah. You have to get away from him, so you're hiding in lockers under gurneys and things like that. And you always keep an eye on that little icon at the top of the screen that indicates whether or not he sees you or not.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that type of thing.
God, I hate those. I they're probably fun to watch other people play, but no, mm-hmm. I do not want to be involved in those. Nope. Do not want to play. We get some time. We could talk about this because I haven't really read into it, but I'm talking about City Skylines 2.
Mm-hmm.
A game that I still have not bought that has been released now for almost a year, maybe a year. I'm not exactly sure. It was in 2023 when it released. So it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, if it hasn't, oh yeah. It was October 2023 is when they released it.
Yeah, October 24th, so almost exactly a year. Yeah.
Yeah, this article from Kotaku, I'll just read it here. City Skylines was an unexpected and long-lived hit that essentially usurped SimCity as the leading city manager game. I love city managers, city builders. I love those. Sequel seemed like a slam dunk, but in 2023, City Skylines 2 came to Steam and felt like an early access game with less content than the game before it, and a whole bunch more bugs. It seemed like a step down, and Paradox had been playing catch-up with the game's developer, Colossal Order, ever since. The console port for PlayStation and Xbox was supposed to be out this fall, has been delayed completely indefinitely. We have no idea when that's going to get released. There's no date on that. They pulled the dates. Part of the early negative response has been blamed to poor hardware optimization and testing. Developer says, we knew that the system requirements were going to be pretty high, but what we missed, which is absolutely our fault as a publisher, is that certain combinations of high-level hardware also didn't work. We were actually in agreement that iterating this live was probably the right way to go when they launched it, but that's something they now regret. I think the lesson learned is that we should probably not have launched that early. So... yeah, what was this? Yeah. So yeah, that was their whole thing about it. Excuse me, my shoulders get me. But yeah, they're on an apology tour now, promising to return to better times and a stricter focus on what the Paradox has been known for, not necessarily for what City Skylines has been known for. But I think City Skylines is probably getting back to where it needs to be as far as the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I check in on it periodically just to look at the reviews to see if there's been, you know, updates and see if there's been better, you know, whatever. And so it seems to be there, and eventually I will jump in. But I can remember when it released last year, and I was like, I really want that. But I've been good for a year without it. It's kind of something I have to remind myself when I get the urge to want a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, man, remember how bad you wanted this? You never got it, and you're fine. You know? I put that on City Skylines 2, but I think about a couple of other games, too. Like, I wanted Sonic Frontiers back when it released, and I wanted a good deal on discount, and it never came. And then a year later, there's the deal again, a discount, and I'm like, it could be less. And I've also been waiting for a year already. Mm-hmm. I could probably let it go more. Well, now it's like Sonic Generations or Sonic...
Sonic Generations 2 or
no.
Like
what
that,
is
or?
The what's the Sonic Shadow Generations?
Shadow Generations.
Yeah, that's coming out this month, and I'm like, okay, that's the one I'll be on. Mm. You know, maybe I'll grab Frontiers at some point, but Sonic Shadow Generations, I have heard nothing but spectacular things about it. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. It is Sonic Generations, but it is remixed or revamped or remastered. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's got the Shadow stuff in there as well. And I'm absolutely down for that. Absolutely. I really loved Sonic Generations back in the day. Mm-hmm. I think I have it on backwards compatibility, but I really, really enjoyed it. So kind of looking forward to that. But also looking forward to our Black Friday deals. I'm curious to see what we're going to see on discount coming up in November. Just curious what we mm-hmm. get, you know?
May not be as big as Black Fridays in the past, but something at least.
They don't seem to be lately.
Yeah.
Black Friday ain't what it used to be. Mm. Long time ago, it used to be, and I don't know if you can blame the internet for that. I'm not sure what you can blame for it, but a long time ago, you put in the work to find out what was going to be on sale, like what was going to be the big stuff that was on sale. You really put in this work because you knew somebody who worked for some place and got the ads in early and would scan them and put them online, that sort of thing. It didn't come easy. Now it's a complete promotional effort.
Yeah.
You know, the ads don't leak anymore. They get officially released because it's just like, yeah, put them out there.
What's bigger? What's bigger, Black Friday or Prime Day?
I would go with Black Friday. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because Black Friday is not owned by a company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the stores, and I mean all the stores, doesn't matter if it's electronics, doesn't matter if it's clothing, doesn't matter what it might be. Mm-hmm. All of them have some sort of Black Friday sale. Now, because of Prime Day, other stores sort of have their, like, yeah, we're going to be on sale for that day type of period. They got to compete. And so they go through that. But I still think Black Friday is the better of the deal days.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily for televisions, but for most other things, yes. By the way, the reason I say that is because from what I understand, the better deals on televisions come around the time of the Super Bowl. The inventory is able to, they're moving old inventory out, bringing in new inventory, and the deals are even better than what they were for Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
For television specifically.
Yeah.
Not washer and dryers, not video games, not refrigerators, television specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Not your consoles or video games or your DVDs or anything like that. So specifically on that. Don't forget that we will do another rundown of your Black Friday sales when we get them and as they come. The other thing about Black Friday, though, it feels like there is a rock bottom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's as low as that's going to go. And it doesn't matter which store you go to get that specific game or item or whatever it is, you're paying the lowest that it's available. With the exception of like Walmart, I think that if everybody else is $15 off, they're $15.01. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They'll undercut by just like a penny.
That Price is Right strategy.
Right. Of it just being like, yeah, well, it's lower there. So, yeah, you'll see that. But for the most part, I really enjoy it, even though I don't participate as much into it as I used to. I still enjoy, you know, looking to see what the deals are going to be and what you can save. And in fact, we have one right now for, what did it say? Yeah, this holiday season, you could snag a PS5 for just $350. It's refurbished, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You're buying it directly from Sony refurbished. So you're getting a like new PlayStation 5 that has the warranty of a brand new PlayStation 5. That has everything that a brand new PlayStation 5 does. It's just been used before, and you're paying a little less. But you get the warranty. You get everything that you normally get with it. So if there is a problem with it, you just send it back. They do the thing. You get a, you know, you get a new unit. You get a fixed unit, whatever the case may be. So, yeah. I don't know. Is that going on now? Yeah. Sony is now selling refurbished at a much more... Yeah, if you check out the PlayStation Direct store, which serves as the company's online console storefront, you'll now find the company selling used or returned PS5s. The refurbished console's landing page states the systems are extensively cleaned, tested, and ready for a brand new home. The base model with a disk drive and the digital one that comes without a disk drive, those are available as refurbished PS5s if you're looking for those. And it's for $350. The refurbished model with the disk drive is going for $400, undercutting the cost of a brand new PS5 by about $100. The real draw of the deal is the digital version, though. The one that does not come with a disk drive, $350. It makes it technically the cheapest model of the PS5 available on the market right now. Both come packing certified PlayStation replacement parts and a one-year warranty in case things go sideways. If you've just been waiting for the right price to buy a system ahead of the holidays, you're probably not going to find a better deal than the refurbished. We'll see. We'll let you know. But, yeah. Lots of stuff there for you as far as that's going. You know, we're getting closer and closer to those deal days coming up.
Is it still a hard drive? The hard drives are still able to be swapped out and things like that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so,
absolutely.
So that's still the same.
Yeah. In fact, there was a storage sale on Amazon recently where they were selling there was a 2 terabyte SSD for PlayStation 5. Actually, it may have been 4. I think it was. I think it was a 4 terabyte SSD for $200-something, which was down a lot. I think those normally 4 terabyte SSD probably runs in the 300 to close to 400 range. Maybe I haven't priced them, but it was,
I'm trying to think between Amazon and Newegg, places like that, selling, keep an eye on hard drive prices, especially the ones you can put in a PS5.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. We got to take a break. When we come back, we will just keep talking about the news here. I mean, we've only got about another less than 30 minutes here to go for this episode. Music here, again, going back to the Scarlet Moon Halloween Volume 3 album. This comes from Castlevania II: Simon's Quest. It is a version of Bloody Tears. It is called Children of the Night. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this.
Listen to them. Children of the Night. What music they make.
Welcome back into In-Game Chats. This is a track by somebody called Vector Drive. It's called Bone Wires. This comes off the Scarlet Moon Halloween Volume 3 album, which is the last of the tracks from that album. Welcome back in. Thanks, Dave. Dave says, cool music. That's pretty good. Stick around, Dave. Your track's coming up at the end of the show. He made a suggestion, and I made sure that it got in there because I had one spot left for today's show. That album only had 6 tracks, and I need 7.
Yep.
So I was able to do a replacement for him. So hopefully he stays listening. And I think he will. So, welcome back in. I don't know what else to talk about. There's some kind of weird new Switch Online feature that is being playtested with up to 10,000 people, and it's happening sometime this month. Anybody that gets into it is not allowed to talk about it. We don't know what it's for. We don't know what it's about. So, somebody's going to leak something.
Yeah, of course.
You ain't got 10,000 people going to stick to an NDA.
Mm-mm.
It just can't happen.
Yeah.
Somebody going to leak it. And we will know what it is. So, yeah. Oh, man, there's not much to go with here. Just really not a lot. We've already talked about most of it. I wonder if anything happened today at all. I don't see anything. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No upcoming events or.
Well, I was looking just to see the next thing we get is like the Video Game Awards in December.
Mm.
That'll be the next, video game thing where we get some new stuff. Unless, of course, Nintendo announces a Nintendo Direct or Sony announces a State of Play or Microsoft does something else, one of these things that could come up. But for the most part, no, I think we're good until the Video Game Awards in December.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I was looking at the other news. The only other news I had left was Disco Elysium. A spiritual successor is in development from leads of a canceled sequel to the game. They went off and formed a new studio, and they're, obviously they can't work on Disco Elysium because that's owned by a different person, or it's owned by a company.
Yeah.
And so they're going to make a spiritual successor to it. I started to play Disco Elysium, and maybe that's the other narrative I should get into. Mm-hmm. I was going to play it on my Steam Deck because I have it on my Steam Deck, but I think I was going to, I think it might have been available on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to play it on the big screen there, I think. I remember starting it up, and this may have been on PC, but there was a lot of words. There was a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And I wasn't exactly sure what I was doing. And sometimes I let that intimidate me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I let a whole bunch of narrative at the beginning, which is fine, but sometimes I let a whole bunch of that and sort of a I don't know what to do next sort of thing get to me.
Or is this one of those, great, I got to do some thinking while playing this thing?
Not necessarily the thinking part. I don't mind the thinking part.
Because there are games out there you can just play, like I think a buddy of mine said it best, just turn your brain off and just play.
Yeah,
that type of thing.
I do that in Burnout every day. You just turn your brain off and just race cars and crash things.
Mm-hmm.
The Disco Elysium is one of them, and there's another one that I play called, it feels like it's called Narco. And Narco is a point and click bizarre type thing that is very narrative based, but it also doesn't really hold your hand as you're going through it. So in other words, in Disco Elysium and both Narco, you'll go through a lot of words and things kind of setting up at least the situation you're currently in. Maybe if not an overall story, mm-hmm. It's setting up the situation that you currently find yourself in. And you don't really know what to do other than, you look around, you point, you click, you get information, you move to a different scene or you do something like that. And then you're just taking this in. It's not giving you any detail as far as like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What is the significance of what I just clicked on? You're not getting any of that. It will be filled in over time, I believe. But currently, I don't know. You're given an objective and you do it, but in between doing it, you are sort of getting parts of the story. And sometimes I let that intimidate me because I feel like, I don't know what to do, because you'll be given a choice. I know in Narco, and I could be wrong on the name of that game.
Is it Narco or Norco?
Norco.
Okay. Norco, point-and-click adventure set in a dystopian futuristic version of Norco, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Following a woman named Kay, returned home after her estranged mother's death.
Yes.
Okay, that one. Okay. Norco.
Yeah, it was Norco. It was called Narco.
Narcotics.
Yeah, I know. But it was called Norco. Going through that and I came to a screen where I had to make a choice, and it was like an upgrade path. And I was like, I don't know what am I upgrading? I don't know. None of this seems familiar to me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm about to do about to be the wrong thing to do? Like, is this, I don't feel like I have enough information to make a choice yet,
yeah,
is my problem. And the game may say, that's the point. You don't have enough information to make a choice yet. You have to just go on a whim type of thing. And I think that intimidates me. It shouldn't, because I should trust the game, to be honest with you. I should trust the game in what it is doing. If it turns out that I shouldn't have, well, then I have kind of a sour look on the game itself. I should have, you know, I feel like the game should have allowed me to trust it to make these choices and not it be something that 3 hours later in the game or ever how longer in the game I realize, oh, that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And here I have wasted so much time. It's a little intimidating when they do things like that. And I'm not saying Disco...
Tricked?
Huh?
Did you feel tricked?
No, I don't know about tricked.
Mm-hmm.
But you do feel... I feel unprepared. I feel like they haven't given me enough to prepare for this.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that might be the plan.
Yeah.
Myst is one of the all-time greats when it comes to... I'm going to put you here and you're just going to figure it out. But Myst doesn't give you a situation where you have made a choice early on or whatever that you can't go back and fix. In other words, I walk into a room and I flip a lever and nothing happens. Well, something actually did happen, but because I'm not aware of it yet.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I can always come back to that, flip the switch back and do what I need to do once I figure out how it's connected and everything else. But
in this case, it's set in stone.
There's it feels like it is. It feels like it is. And I really haven't played enough to kind of give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Which is odd for me because I am king of giving benefit of the doubt. When it comes to actual people, not so much when it comes to games, I guess. But yeah, Disco Elysium is one I would like to go through because I've heard nothing but fantastic things about it. Mm-hmm. And I really would like to experience that for what it is, as well as Norco. I got pretty far. I got further than I thought I would in Norco, given the intimidation aspect of what I was doing. Some things started to make sense to me when I was going through it, but that upgrade path, whatever that thing was, where you're in like your character's mind and there's these, I don't know what it is, but
okay.
I got to go back to it. I really got to go back to it. And I'll probably have to start over again, to be honest with you.
See, released in March of 2022. It's $7.50 on Steam right now. It's got a deal going on. Offer ends in about 2 days. Very positive reviews looking at the...
it does. I mean, Disco Elysium has really good reviews for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah.
They've got a special edition bundle. I think probably the game and probably some soundtrack or art or whatever.
Probably a soundtrack. That's a game I ought to go back and grab
That's $11.50 right now.
Yeah. I should go back and look at some music from those games and see. I don't know. There's just to tell you about some games that I've seen recently, and I'll go to my Steam store, and I'll tell you what I've added recently to my wish list. Not that we all share the same sort of gaming habits, but when I see something that interests me, I add it to my date added. Start there. I added Thronefall today. It is overwhelmingly positive, and it's on sale for less than $10 right now. Another game I added was Grave Seasons. It is a Stardew Valley, right? You familiar with Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
It's a spooky Stardew Valley.
Mm.
Basically, it's a murder mystery set in, like, you know, the pixelated village farm sim thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but I don't know when that's coming out. Another game called Small Spaces. I like Small Spaces. There's a video of it. Basically, it's just here's a room and it's a relaxing, chill thing. You just design the room.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You design it with furniture. You design it with plants. You put windows. You put a sink somewhere. Whatever. It's just you design your space and it's called Small Spaces.
I wonder when that genre started taking off, because there are some games where you spend so much time in the create a character or create a space that it could be a, someone thought it could be a game in and of itself.
I would say it probably started with The Sims. Mm-hmm. The actual, you know, not The Sims, where you mm-hmm. built the house for your Sims. You put different things in the house for your Sims, and you designed it that way. I'd say it might start, I mean, if you really want to go that far back, it probably mm-hmm. started there. Now, the first game that really just said, here, just play.
Wasn't The Sims more about the interaction of the people in the places you
built? It was, but you still had to do, you still had to do those things. You still had to design the layout of your home, or at least the way the home was decorated or furnished or something like that.
Yeah.
You still had to decide where the kitchen was going to go. Here's where the bedroom is. I don't like the bed against that wall. I'm going to move it to this wall.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And I want to say Sims 2, 3, whatever we're up to now for The Sims has that. What else did I add?
Let me just look at something for a second. Oh.
What are you looking at?
I just searched a home designer game.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff. Just
There's right a ton.
Yeah, there's a ton of home design stuff, yeah, so.
I added Blood Bar Tycoon to my wish list. That is a vampire bar management system. Mm-hmm. Guinea Pig Parkour. Yeah.
Why did I think of PETA?
When
you said that name. Because it sounds like something they complain about.
It is a hand-drawn comedy parkour platformer adventure. Presented as a lost 90s animated cartoon show. Run, jump, flip, vault, and climb through 90s-inspired cartoon worlds featuring painstakingly crafted, fluid, hand-drawn, frame-by-frame animation all made by one artist. Guinea Pig Parkour. I added TCG Card Shop Simulator. I have just heard nothing but fantastic things about that. It is overwhelmingly positive on there. Mm-hmm. I've watched during the hurricane coming through, somebody was doing a stream of it. It's in early access, but basically you just run a trading card game shop. That's it.
Yeah.
You set the prices, you get the customers, and it's, I don't know why, but it seems fun. What else? Okay, the other thing that I added recently, and I saw this trailer on YouTube, it's a game called Keep Driving.
Mm-hmm.
It is an atmospheric management RPG about life on the open road. Pick up hitchhikers, work odd jobs, customize and repair your car, and map your route across the country. Use upgrades, skills, and items to overcome challenges, and remember to take it easy. You're young, you have time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious as to how that plays out, but it is definitely on my wish list.
I was looking at this, the Guinea Pig Parkour.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought about was Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what it reminded me of.
Lost 90s cartoon show. Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I forgot about Earthworm Jim. Mm. Fantastic.
Still a fun game to play.
Is it?
A fun game to play.
Yeah, I never played it.
Give it a shot if you ever get a chance.
Definitely will. Okay. Dave said, I just tuned in. I'll catch the first 90 minutes tomorrow on the download. I'm sitting here with a gassy bulldog listening now, though. He wants to know if you and I are playing anything spooky.
Spooky?
Yeah. Are we playing anything spooky? I don't play the spooky games, Dave. I don't play the horror games. You're fine with them.
I play occasionally. I mean, I do have to.
Got to be a certain genre though for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, Until Dawn. Like I said, fix the mistake I made in Until Dawn. Have to start over with that. I do have to get starting on The Quarry. The Quarry. I do have to start on that. And I would guess we're talking about The Evil Within.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got. The sequel, I never started on that. So there are some spooky games I got, and of course the Dark Anthology series.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking it would be a good thing to go through and play those, the Dark Anthology series through this, because I think that would work most likely. But yeah, that could be something there. But no, I mean, you know, we talked early in the show, Dave, as far as what we have been playing. And none of it was spooky. The stuff we played, none of it has been on the spooky side.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been atmospheric. Yes. Do that all day. I played Scorn.
Mm-hmm.
Scorn, not necessarily horror, but it's got some really unsettling looking, you know, it's very...
Kind of like a Dante's Inferno?
No. It's very, man, my brain is off today. Geiger from Alien.
Okay.
Was it H.R. Geiger?
H.R. Geiger.
Yeah. Very reminiscent of his designs and his works. But everything is just drab in that game and bleak. Mm. Just every aspect of that game is hopeless. And I don't mean in like playing it or reviewing it or something like that. I mean the atmosphere of that game is hopelessness, is just bleak desolation of there is nothing good about where you are. It is suffering. It is just painful and hopeless. That's it. Mm. That is it. And the further you go, the more it gets. It's also beautiful. It has also got some amazingly beautiful scenes, sets or settings and stuff like that. Designs and things like that. It's got some really cool stuff. But for the most part, yeah. And no jump scares in that or anything like that. It was, you know, nothing like that. But it really nails that atmosphere, man. It absolutely nails that atmosphere. So, I don't know. That's it. I don't know real spooky games that I play. So, there's a really cute spooky game called Haunty with two I's at the end. H-A-U-N-T-I-I. That's on Game Pass. And it's really, it's, you know, it's a nice little cute spooky. Mm-hmm. If you want to go that route with it. But, yeah. So.
In my case, yeah, like I said, those, but most likely I would get into the Dark Anthology or really Evil Within, because I think that was a real survival horror, because like resources are heavily limited in that game. You really have to put your resource management skills to effect when you play that game.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the complaints that people who played Resident Evil had was that it wasn't survival horror anymore. It was survival action.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But and Evil Within brought back the survival.
Right. Because the same guys that did the development on that, I believe, when they went over to work at Tango Works. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Remember, there is no show next weekend, but we'll be back in 2 weeks for you to do some more spooky music and Halloween stuff as well. So thank you guys all for joining us. I do appreciate it every single week. RJ, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. We do appreciate it. Going out on a recommendation from Mr. Dave, who is currently watching with his Gassy Bulldog.
That'd be a good screen name.
Gassy Bulldog?
Gassy Bulldog.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
This is a track, and I do not know the title of the track, but it comes from a game that he requested. Zombies Ate My Neighbors. We'll see you next Saturday. No, 2 weeks from Saturday. Sorry. A week from next Saturday. I don't know. We'll be back whenever.
Later on.
Yeah.